floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Yes, Jesus, show us. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart and filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name, Lord, today. Thank you, Father. Oh, God, we pray that you would open up the heavens, Lord. We're praying that you would pour out of your Spirit, Lord, God, that you would show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Oh, Jesus, show it to our friends, our neighbors, our Lord, wherever we are, Lord, let your glory be revealed, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all over. but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the morning sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand. You hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How high, how deep, how great is your love for me. How love for me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How by you. God, your love is endless. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Oh, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love, Lord. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord. God of Abraham, you're the God of covenant, of faithful promises. Time and time again, you have proven you do just what you say. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. God, from age to age, though the earth may pass away, your words remain the same. Your history can prove there's nothing you can't do. You're faithful and true. Though the storms may come and the winds may blow, I'll remain steadfast. And let my heart learn when you speak a word, it will come to pass. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He'll never let me down. He'll never let me down. Great is your faithfulness to me. Great is your faithfulness to me. From the rising sun to the setting same, I will praise your name. Great is your faithfulness to me. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. You are faithful and true. Faithful and true. Oh, Jesus, thank you that we can count on you, that you are always, always true to your word. Oh, we give you thanks and praise today, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord's faithfulness to us is just so amazing. Today we're doing a 5-minute foundation on the importance of the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it actually says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible is the Holy Spirit breathed by God himself. And I'm reminded of this, when I think about this, I'm reminded of a tale I once heard, it's not really a true story, about a woman whose son went off to war. And while he was, they were really close, and so while he was off at war, she wrote him a letter every day and sent it off to him, telling him everything that was going on back home at the house. They brought a farm and told him about the, you know, the calves that were being born and all that kind of stuff, and the crops and all that. And sure enough, a couple years later, he came home and they were reunited, just had a wonderful reuniting. And he said, Mom, you got to tell me what happened while I was gone. Can you tell me, you know, calves were born and all this stuff? And she said, well, didn't you get my letters? And he said, well, yeah, but I didn't actually have a lot of time, so I didn't read them. We were really busy. And we have this letter from God himself to us. And I don't want to be meeting God in eternity and saying, well, you know, I know you sent this letter, but I was busy with work and house cleaning and, you know, whatever it was, and I just didn't get around to reading your letters. It's just that kind of a thing. So the daily Bible reading is just, it's so essential for a healthy Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is God's word. It's his word to us. And among other things, it reveals his plan of salvation. It helps us grow spiritually. And it helps us know God, and it gives us guidance and direction. I'm way ahead of you, Adam, I'm sorry. There you go. It's important to develop a regular reading program. You don't have to read the books in order, but it is good to read the entire Bible. And this is, Tom wrote this, and he, one of the things he says is he generally reads from both the Old and the New Testament at the same time, and he likes to keep track of the books that he reads so that he knows how often, so he doesn't have books that he's neglected. I personally have had times where I've just read through the whole Bible in a year, and you know, just read Genesis to Revelation. I've also found some helps where you can read read it chronologically, and there's also a number of helps where you can read a portion of Old Testament and New Testament at the same time. But like when I was reading through it for a year, I was looking at the Bible and like some verses or some chapters are just like miles long, honestly. And others are super short. And every help I got said, we'll read so many chapters a day and you get the Bible. Well, I just took the Bible and I said, well, I got about 1,400 pages divided by 365, roughly 4 pages a day. So I just read 4 pages a day and I was through the Bible in about 11 and a half months. The point is, there's not a right and a wrong way to read the Bible. The important thing is to read the Bible. And then as you're reading, to ask yourself some questions about what's happening. And so you're more than just, it's not just something you're reading, it's something you're internalizing, you're interacting with, if you will. And so you know, the question to ask as you're doing is, how does this apply to me? Thank you. And are there commands or examples to follow? But are there promises to believe and receive? And I like to ask one more question, and this, and I found this super helpful for myself, and I just ask, is there something I can use today in the scripture that I'm reading to help me in my walk with Christ, or to share with other people that I can do it today? I found that very helpful to be very conscious about things I'm reading that maybe I can work with the conversations during the day with. So I hope I didn't go too far over, but that's our 5-minute foundation for the day.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Ray. You can do that. You can just sit there. Thanks. All right. If you would like, you can stand with us once again. We'd like to continue our worship. What joy to know you, Lord, to walk within your ways, to live beneath the shadow of your wings. Faithful you will lead me, and I won't hear a thing. You alone my song will always be. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Glory. What mercy to me, Lord, to choose me for your own, that you would make my heart your dwelling place. And when I stand in glory, and we are face to face, surely then my song will be the same. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Your glory. All of the earth is full of your glory. Worthy now to receive power and wisdom and majesty. Our King, splendor and honor eternally. Worthy now to receive power and wisdom and majesty. Unto you, Christ our King, splendor and honor eternally, yours forever,
What beauty to behold there before the throne, as all the earth and heaven hail the King, the Lion and the Lamb, our God the Great I Am. To you alone our song forever be. To you alone our song forever be. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy. All of the earth is full of your glory. Worthy now. Now to receive power and wisdom and majesty unto you, Christ our King, splendor and honor eternally. Behold, there before the throne, as all of earth and heaven hail the King, the Lion and the Lamb, our God the Great I Am. To you alone our song forever be. You alone our song forever be. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Your glory, all of the earth is full of your glory. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Oh, you are worthy. You are holy, Lord. Worthy to receive honor and glory and blessing. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, our God. Haraba Santa Shide Se. Father, we acknowledge you as the great I Am, the great one that is holy forever. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of our praise, our worship, and our adoration. We give you our hearts today, Lord. Be Lord in every bit, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to your name. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think I'm a little loud, Pat. I might have to turn down the wireless. I'm humming. Too loud. Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Okay. A few things I'd like to bring up for prayer this morning.
We are into election season. Oh boy. And I am still really, really ringing. Okay. I think we're better now. Okay. So as you vote, and early voting is going to begin in just a few days, I want to encourage you with one thing. When you go to vote, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I am telling you to vote your faith. Please vote your faith. And please vote. I was shocked when I looked at the statistics that said there are at least 3 million people who at least self-proclaim themselves to be Christians who are not intending to vote. I want to encourage you to use your right and vote your faith. The other thing I want to tell you is when you go to vote, I've printed off a few of these that are in the back on the back table. Turn your ballot over. Turn the ballot over. There is a very important proposition on the back, and very often I'm told people don't flip it over. They don't see it. It is proposal one. And I don't talk very much about things relating to elections from the pulpit, but I'm telling you, proposal one is evil. And there is no other way to say it. It is evil. And it will codify evil. A vote against Proposition 1, and the literature is here, a vote against Proposition 1 will protect minors against so-called sex reassignment surgeries. It will protect faith-based schools against state interference. It will protect parent rights and protect unborn babies against elective third trimester abortions. Please don't be fooled. Proposition 1 is not about protecting New Yorkers from unfairness. That's what they're telling you. It is everything about furthering a radical agenda. This is a moral issue. Turn your ballot over. Turn that ballot over. I want to ask your prayer for prayer today. I have a young man in my heart this morning. He grew up with my kids. His parents were very faithful people that worked at Houghton Academy. Gosh, I wish the Lord wouldn't do this to me. His family is the Storms family. Some of you may know them. They live in Sandusky, but they've been involved with the Houghton Wesleyan Church and very involved at Houghton Academy for years and years. Mrs. Storms taught for a while at the Houghton South campus at the elementary school. They had a son, Nate, who graduated with my son, Andrew, and shortly after he graduated, he developed colon cancer of a very serious nature. They had to remove a large portion of that, but he's been cancer-free, and they have his cancer has returned, and they have told him that at this point it's inoperable and terminal. And Nate is I think he's 32 years old, and I want to pray that God would in his might eradicate that cancer from his body. And believe God to restore him. He is a believer. He is a Christian. And however it goes, I know he knows that he's secure in Christ. But I want to pray that God would do a miracle in his life. So let's pray this morning. Father, I pray for this young man. God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So God, I pray that you would eradicate that cancer, destroy it in Nate's body, Father. God, I pray that you would have mercy on him, that you would touch him, touch his family, Lord, in this time. God, that you would bring healing and health and restore his life. Extend your hand of mercy, Lord, and heal him, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for this election coming. God, it's a tipping point in our country. Father, there's so much that hangs in the balance. But God, ultimately, one thing that hangs in the balance is millions more innocent babies, Father, that will suffer abortion if the people who are elected continue in their radical agenda. Father, I pray that you would not only act in our behalf to put down this evil proposal in New York State, but God, that you would move in such a way that the sin, the great sin of abortion, would be stopped in our country. And that you would have mercy. Father, that you would restore our country to a righteous and holy track. And that you would stem the tide of liberalism that wants to turn everything against your word and against what your word says is right and true. Help us, Father, in this season. And awaken your people. I pray that your people would arise and that they would use that right that they've been given and that they would vote in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Are there any testimonies today? Denny has a testimony.
I think most of you know that I'm a deer hunter.
I think that mic's off, Pat. The handheld might be off.
I don't know. I can't see the...
Oh, no, it's turned on. It just... Now you're on. There
hello.
You're
on. Yeah. I think all you guys know I'm a deer hunter. And in 2020, lost a lease in Pennsylvania that I dearly loved to hunt. I almost cried last night when I was told the guy I leased from lost the lease to another guy. I hunted there with my grandson. I have tremendous memories there. That broke my heart that we lost it. And last night, I was hunting the lease I'm on now. I said, Lord, if it's possible, I would even help pay for the lease if you could get the old lease back. So I get a call. They have the lease, and I'm on now. I asked the guy that bought the other lease if I could hunt, and he said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys have no idea what kind of blessing that is. Mm-hmm. All the memories I can relive as I'm there. I don't even know how many more years I'm going to have to hunt. It reminds me about all things turn out for the good for those who love the Lord. And I just thank him and praise him for that. The guy that called last night, I had to hold back tears. It's hard for other people to realize memories of other people, feelings of other people, their desires, their loves, their joy. And to be be blessed like that is very special. I praise Him for it.
Amen. Glory to God.
I get it, Daddy.
Anybody else? It's a good thing we're a small church.
We've had quite the physical challenges over the last year and a half. I've been to the ER a couple times, Samuel went to the ER, a bunch of doctor's appointments, tests, and all kinds of stuff over the last little while. And, you know, insurance covers part, but we just had thousands of dollars that we were starting to accumulate. And I started making some payments on them, but they started sending it to collections anyway. So I had put in an application for financial assistance for us from the hospital. And I hadn't heard anything back, and it had been a while. And starting to feel very discouraged, very like, you know, your word last week about hope and God being a God of hope. It just felt like we were facing challenge after challenge, and no breathing room in the middle. And then the end of last week, we got complete forgiveness for all everything. And I said we're completely covered until August of next year. So,
oh, glory to God.
We're very, very grateful.
Amen. Oh, glory to God. Let's give the Lord a clap. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory be to God. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Sometimes when I'm out in the backyard at the end of the day, nighttime, the Lord will speak something to me, and I thought about what a blessing it's been we've had in the last 6 weeks now, two grandchildren get married, and at the end of, they were both very different weddings, but they were really nice, and I just thought how my heart is so full, and I thought of, there's got to be a scripture about this. I found the one this morning, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And I think that's one of a lot of, it's hard for me to really grasp that and realize that, thinking about myself, but we're made in God's image. And I thought of how my heart was just so full watching my children, my older children, and their kids and their weddings, and just the delight I felt in watching all of this happen and being part of it. And I thought, well, okay, we're made in God's image, and if I took that much delight in just watching that, and you know, Some of their lifestyles and what's not, it's not what we would support and agree with, but still we love them. And so we're not condoning everything about it, but just the delight over our children. That's what I felt. And I thought, oh, maybe that's what this is kind of about. And so anyway, at the end of it all, as I said, my heart was just so full seeing these ceremonies and just the joy that the kids had and the joy that I felt for them. So it's very special. And
the joy that seeing our grandson marrying our granddaughter.
Oh, yes, that was the grandson's wedding was first. John Tyler's was, what, 7 weeks ago. And then he, as a Navy person and a Navy chaplain, he was the best man and the officiating minister at our granddaughter's wedding, so that was very sweet.
Amen. Okay. Well, let's look into the Word for a few minutes this morning. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs because the book of Proverbs tells it like it is. It just tells it straight. And we're going to read this morning from Proverbs 24 and verse 27. It should be verse 27. I think I have the wrong reference up there on the screen. 24:27. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Now, I remember I preached this message a couple of times in this church. The last time was probably 4 years ago. And I got the strangest looks when I read that scripture. They're like, where are you going with that? Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Israel was an agricultural society. They were agrarian. They lived off the land. Their primary way of life was farming and in livestock. And when they settled in the land, they needed a place to live and they needed a place to grow their crops. And both of those things were really important, very, very important needs. But the order that they did them in was crucial. If they started by building their house, I don't know, maybe the wife said, I want a nice house. they built that nice place to live. They risk missing the window of time to till their fields up and plant their crops. And what that means is now they have a very nice, lovely place to live while they sit in it and starve to death. Because the priority was wrong. The order that they did it in was wrong. Both things were important, but the order, the priority that they were done is crucial. And there are things that are good, important, and even necessary, but having a proper priority to things is important. And when things get out of that priority, that's where we have trouble. Yes?
24:27.
Yes, 24:27.
It says 7 on your
page. Yeah, I said I had the wrong reference. It's actually 27. Maybe, can you
hear me?
I did make mention that it should be 27. No, that's okay. I heard a story of a man at a county fair who was giving plane rides to people at $20 a ride. That'd be cheap, 20 cents. $20 plane rides. And one elderly couple wanted to take a ride, but they thought that the $20 a piece price was just too much, too expensive. So they offered the pilot $20 for both of them. They said, since we're going to have to just cram ourselves into your cockpit anyway. And the pilot said, no, you pay the full fare, but I'll make you a deal. If you can ride the entire ride, make it through and not say a single word the whole time you're in the plane, I'll refund all your money and your trip will be free. So they said, great. So they got in and he took them through the paces. He did all of his tricks. He whipped them around, banked them hard. He looped them. He took them all around. And at the end, they got to the end. And the pilot looked at him and he said, well, you did it. I didn't hear you say a single word. You made it. So he said, here's your money, your ride's free. And the man said, yep, I did it. He said, but you almost had me when my wife fell out of the plane. Somebody's priorities were a little off. Were a little off. But that highlights something. Money in our society is a cause of very poor priorities. And I found that, not that I make a habit of doing that, but a look at people's finances will sometimes reveal their priorities as well. Have you noticed, now here I go again, have you noticed in this election season, that, now that it's here, that we have candidates saying, essentially what they're saying is, vote for me and I'll give you money. Now they're not saying it quite like that. What they're saying is, vote for me and I'll forgive your loans. Vote for me and I'll give you money for a house. Vote for me and I'll give you money for your business. What they're not saying is where the money is coming from. Where is the money coming from? Well, guess where the money's coming from. You give out money, it's coming from somewhere. Guess where? So because it's not, or even better, let's just print some more money. Print more money. Do you see though that the priority is just so out of whack? To give it out means they have to take it in, and our country's proper priorities have been so out of whack for so long that now our country, when I look at it, the U.S. national debt today, as of today, is $30.71 trillion. Trillion. How many zeros is that? I almost put it up on the screen. I can't fathom that amount of money. $30.71 trillion. What that means is that somebody else owns our country because they have gotten their priorities wrong and they have spent and spent and spent and spent and spent. And the scripture says the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, the world economy is such that, you know, the other countries that we owe all this money to, if they were to call in those debt, it would crush our country. Well, they're not going to do that because our economy falls, their economy falls, everybody's economy. Well, it's a very complicated process that I don't completely understand, but I do know that it all stems out of a wrong priority. The average American's debt load, and you know, mind you, it may not be us, but this is an average. The average American's debt load is $101,000. $101,000, according to debt.org, and that could include house mortgage, you know, and you know, there are reasons to borrow. I mean, I borrowed when I purchased my house. I'm not being legalistic about borrowing, but there's a priority in working, earning, and paying, as opposed to taking out a credit card and going swipe. And just spending yourself into the ground. It's important to work and save. But having God's priorities in your life is a safeguard. What God says will cause you to have a well-ordered life, keep you safe. So what are those spiritual priorities? Well, we can find the answer to that question at the beginning. If we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, when God created the world and everything in it, he set it up in proper order and gave us principles to live by. So I want to present four scriptural priorities for a well-ordered life in Christ. And number one is, simply enough, God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, I know it says God created, but everything begins with Him. Everything starts with God. When God created people, He created Adam. Why? To have fellowship with Him. When Adam sinned, it said God came walking in the cool of the day to come and meet with Adam. I believe it was their habit that they would walk together. God wanted to have fellowship. When questioned as to what the greatest commandment was, Jesus gave us Matthew 22, 36, and 37. Teacher, which commandment is the greatest in the law? Jesus declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Exodus 20, verse 3 tells us, you shall have no other gods before me. Why? Because the scripture teaches us that God is a jealous God. He wants you for Himself. You know, God is selfish. Are you glad that God is selfish? It's okay. He's selfish because what He wants is you for Him. He didn't want to share you with anybody else. And that's why in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And there are days where I realize just how much I don't really believe that when I get up and try to go off on my day before I have submitted everything, submitted it to the Lord and sought Him on it. Revelation 2, 1 through 4, we read the angel of the Lord speaks. It's actually Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus. And He says, He's commending them, telling them what a great, I see that you have done good works. You've held fast to the truth. They were a busy church. They were doing a lot of really great service. But He said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. Jesus says, you've left me. You've left me. He wants us and we need Him. And I have to start my day out with the Lord. I have to before the rest of my day starts moving, I've got to get up. I've got to make sure that I'm in prayer, that I'm in His Word. I loved the 5-minute foundation today. You know, the really cool thing about the Bible is that it's like no other book. It's alive. The Word works with you when you read it. It's alive. It will speak to you. God will reveal Himself to you through His Word as you seek Him in it. But He has to be your number one priority. Number one priority. Don't miss your time with the Lord every single day. Every day. And I tell you, I have had times where I have gotten up and who knows what happens, but I've missed my time in the morning. And you know, I find if I miss it in the morning and I think, well, I'll make it up later, guess what? It doesn't happen. And I get to the end of my day and things don't always go well. Things don't always go well when I skip that. I apologize. I forgot to shut my phone off. And people are texting back and forth about this young man that we prayed for this morning. So before we get interrupted again, that will not happen again. So important that we not miss our time with Him. Prayer and communication. Read your Word. Get into it. Pray and talk to Him. Have your time with Him. Don't skip it. Don't miss it. Don't let it go by. Now, if it happens, what do? You just repent and pick up. The scripture says the righteous man falls 7 times and he gets up again. You know, sometimes we mess up. Sometimes it doesn't, things don't work well. But you get up and you dust off and you do it again. Luke chapter 10, I'm not going to turn there today. You're familiar with the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus came into Martha's home, and Martha was going to be busy at work. She was going to cook them the nicest meal they ever had, and she was working like a crazy woman, and Mary was sitting there listening to Jesus teach. Well, Martha got miffed. Martha got a little ticked off because she was doing everything, and she says, "Teacher, tell my sister to come and help me out." Now, Martha was trying to serve God. She was doing a good thing. She was going to have a really nice meal. She was going to serve them. But she also got an attitude toward other people that weren't working as hard as she was. Be careful. Beware of that. Beware of that judgmental spirit. When you're busy, busy, busy for God and you look and other people don't look like they're doing anything, be careful that you don't have an attitude toward them. Mary's just sitting there listening, and Jesus said, "Martha, you're worried about a lot of stuff, and Mary's doing the important thing. She's doing the most important thing. She is put her priority on God first. She's listening to the word." And he said, "It will not be taken from her." Don't neglect your number one priority. It's God. And everything else flows is going to flow from that. Number two, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, 27 and 28, excuse me. So God created man in his own image. So first we have that God created man so that he would have fellowship with him and created that first priority. But second, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that crawls upon the earth." Before there was any leaders or governments or churches or any other organization, there was the family. The family was the very first institution created by God. Absolutely, positively, the fundamental building block of society. And I want to talk about the family for a minute. Now, if you're here and you're single today, hang on. I'm not ignoring you right now. I want to talk about this particular principle. We need to look at it, but we will come around. We will come around back to that as well. Number two priority is to your family. The relationship of the husband to the wife, the children to the parents, parents to the children. Is it any wonder why, because it's the building block of society, why the family is under attack today in our country so strongly? Everything is happening to undermine that godly foundation of family. Divorce is rampant. We have sexuality being completely perverted on every hand. And the idea of a traditional family gets made fun of. The idea of a woman being, they call it a trad wife, and they make such fun of it, the trad wife. Pardon? Oh, it's a traditional stay-home mother that would stay with her children, help to raise. And there's a whole thing on social media, not that I'm there much anymore, but of women who are a traditional wife just mercilessly mocking them for doing that. But the devil knows if you destroy the family, you can destroy an entire culture. If you undermine that building block of the family, you can destroy the entire culture. We've seen it in the black population in lots of urban settings, the father is not there. They take off. In the Asian countries, the father takes off. Our brother Roscoe Snell in China has been a father to so many young men because none of the young men have their own father. There isn't one. The men have a wife, they have children, and then they take off. They're gone. So an entire culture can be so damaged by the destruction of the family. Malachi 2:16, God says, I hate divorce. God hates it. I had a girl, I've told you the story before, that came into my school just crying her heart out, a little kindergarten girl. And I saw her walking down the hall, so I stopped her and I said, honey, what is wrong? And she said, through her tears, she said, my daddy left last night. He's gone. And she just cried her heart out all the way down to her, back to her classroom. And what do you say? I looked at her and I said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. We'll try to help you, but what can I say? Her father's gone. Her heart is broken. We're made for family. That's why God created us with a father and a mother. And family damage is so hard to walk through, but it's not impossible. And if your family is in a tough spot, whether it's relationship between you and parents, or you and siblings, or you and children, God is able to mend that. God is able to work in that. And the prayers that you pray for your family, I can't make a doctrine out of it. There's nothing, there's not a lot in Scripture to point to, but your prayers for your family are powerful. And God can move in their behalf because of your prayers. Job interceded for his children every day. Made sacrifices before God. Your prayers on behalf of your family, God is able to untangle the knots, to unravel all the spaghetti that's gotten all tangled up. He can do that. God wants to restore and bring restoration to families. It's no doubt that part of leadership qualification in the Scripture is that a man must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. But it's also very important that the family priority, which is so important, not get ahead of the first priority, the God priority. If that happens, when family gets up on top, then problems occur. When Jesus isn't part of the equation, then the husband and the wife are going to have problems. The husband's not going to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The children don't learn the faith. They don't learn to be obedient. God first, family second. Now, what if you're single? What if you're not in that situation? And I have to say, very unfortunately, society has made it very hard on single people. It's made it very hard on single people. There's a high value that's been placed on marriage, and people who are single or divorced or widowed can be made to feel almost like a social pariah. It's like you don't fit somehow. Christmas time, Hallmark movies. What is, Christmas, it's all about having a man and a woman meet and have a wonderful Christmas romance. You know, it's a very unrealistic view of life. It's just completely and totally unrealistic. It's not real. But it's laid out there like this is the way it should be. 1 Corinthians 7:32-34, I want you to be free from concern. The unmarried man is concerned about the work of the Lord, how he can please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. Boy, that is true. And his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the work of the Lord, how she can be holy in both body and spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. It's hard in this day and age to tell people, it almost sounds uncaring to say that singleness is a gift. But singleness is a gift. It means that you can focus your heart and your attention on Christ. And you might say, well, Pastor Dave, you don't know what it's like to be alone. No, I don't. I know that the church needs to, in some way, step up for single people, especially single women. But remember that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Isaiah 54:5, if you're single, I'll bet you know this already. For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of Heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. Married or single, because you have a family, parents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, remember that your prayers for them are mighty and effective, and family is important. Family is super, super important as really your second priority. Number three priority, and please understand that when I talk about priorities, I'm not giving you rules. These priorities are fluid all day long. We say that our number one priority is God. When I'm at school teaching little kindergartners, I'm not thinking about God, I'm thinking about them. But everything that I do with them is going to flow out of my right relationship with Christ. Everything that I do with them is going to flow out of love your neighbor as yourself, wanting to help those children. And I've also noticed that if I have a really bad day at home, I'm going to have a really bad day at school. My family needs to be in right order as well. So these things are fluid with your attention all day long, but the principles are what we're looking at. Number three, Genesis 1:28. I hope I put that on there. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave Adam and Eve jobs. He gave them something to do. He gave them work. He didn't place Adam in the garden and say, I've given you a self-managing garden, just go and enjoy it. No, he gave him a job. He said, go tend it. Take care of it. And so priority three is your job. Work is sacred. It is. Work is sacred. If you're retired, glory be, I may enter that, I may be coming to that time real soon, I hope, at least from teaching. But work is sacred, and God gave them that work. They were to rule over the land, over the animals. And Paul carries that over. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even while we were with you, we gave you this command, if anyone is unwilling to work, he shall not eat. You work, you eat. You don't work, you starve. There's a great need in the world today for faithful, diligent workers. I know employers that say they can't find anybody that's going to be faithful. Who's going to work? I can't find anybody. We had a restaurant downtown. It was a nice restaurant, and they closed because they couldn't find people they could count on. They just finally gave up. People, they'd hire people, and they wouldn't show up for their shift. People didn't come. The testimony of a diligent, honest Christian employee today is absolutely invaluable. Your light is going to shine. Someone who will go to work and be a faithful servant is a testimony. It's a tremendous testimony. But your work needs to stay in priority as well. When work suddenly gets on top, if you derive your self-worth from what you do instead of in Christ, then our work accomplishments are going to begin to impinge upon our relationship with Jesus. It's going to impinge on our family. Family's going to suffer. Where's Dad? Where's Mom? Well, they're at work. They're still doing this or that. Family suffers. Your relationship with Christ suffers when accomplishment and job or advancement take precedence, when it gets on top. It's so important to keep a right order in that. And lastly, there we go. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for their relatives, especially their own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's pretty serious. So work is sacred. A good, faithful employee is a wonderful thing, but it's very important to stay in right priority and not take precedence over what the most important things are. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one or every person for the profit of all. In other words, the reason that I included that was because the Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself out of every believer. That means you have a ministry. Every person has a ministry. It is not me that I am the minister. You are a minister. There is no clergy laity tags. I don't like that. In the medieval period, they had the clergy, who were the learned class, and the masses, who were illiterate, and you had the clergy, who were the ones who considered themselves, they were smart, I am smart, you are stupid, so therefore I will tell you what to believe. We don't have that. You have the ministry. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest out of you, and the job of the minister, if we could say it that way, is to help train you so that you go out and you do the work of the ministry. And so your fourth priority really in life is your ministry. And some people are like, wait a minute, how come that isn't higher? Shouldn't that be higher? My service to Christ, shouldn't it? No, it shouldn't. It needs to be in proper priority. And as I said, these things are fluid throughout your day and in your attention, but your ministry is really that fourth thing. And the reason is Titus 1:6, an elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, having children who are believers and who are not open to accusation of indiscretion or insubordination. Then it goes on talking about how, you know, a leader or an elder in the church should not do this, shouldn't be this. In other words, what it's saying is an elder needs to have their priorities lined up in the right order. They need to have God at the head. They need to have their family in order. They need to be doing their job. So all of those things need to be lined up first before somebody is going to minister and serve Christ. Remember that the Ephesian church was busy, busy, busy serving God. Martha was busy, busy, busy serving God. But Jesus said the important thing is giving your attention to Christ. Jesus told the Ephesian church the important thing is not to lose your first love. Have your priorities in right order, and your service to Christ will be fruitful. He'll be able to pour it out. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, no more can ye unless you abide in me. He said, apart from me, you can't do anything. Everything flows out of having your life in right order. Having your priorities in life order and in correct order so that you can serve effectively. Father, we need your help, Lord, as we go throughout, as we walk throughout our day. First of all, we have to keep our heart and our attention and our mind on our first priority, on our relationship with you. How important it is that we begin our day with you, or that we find a way to have you be the central part from where everything else is going to flow out of. And we know that the enemy would like to attack that and bring distractions and remind us of everything else that we should be doing instead of seeking your face and praying or reading our Bible. Father, I pray that you would help us first with our number one priority, cultivating our relationship, that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, our mind, and our strength. Help us to be lovers of God. Help us to be people who love you first and put you first. Help us, Father, to be able to be people who protect our families and who are willing to protect our brothers and sisters in Christ as well, that we would be ones that have our life in order. Father, that you would help us to be faithful in the places where you use us, that we would be able to bring honor and glory to your name, that we would do all things for Christ as unto the Lord, even in our work and our job. And Father, that you would help us to recognize that we're all called to minister, that every person has a gift, has gifts given to them with which we can minister to other people and we can be in service. But Father, help all of that to flow out of our relationship with you. Help us to protect that. Help us to walk in priority. Help our hearts and minds to be lined up in proper alignment with what you say is ought to be first and second and third. Help us, Father. Help us as we walk through our day. Thank you for the grace to be able to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're here today and you have a need, there will be someone here to pray for you, as always. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. I wanted to wave this. We're getting close to the time where the snow is going to be flying. Some naughty person told me today about snowflakes in the air this week, that it could come. That means we could get bad weather. And we would love to be able to contact you if we have to make some change to the schedule, if a prayer meeting is canceled, or if heaven forbid, weather's bad and we have to cancel a church service. But we can't do that if we don't have your phone number or your email address or something else. So if you haven't filled out one of these, please fill that out and give it to Jeannie or myself so that we can. Otherwise, if we have to close church and we can't get you, we can't get you. And then people get mad at us sometimes. But if we don't have, and you have to fill this, we have to have your permission. We don't take your phone number and start calling you. And I think Planning Center requires us to do that as well. The software that we use requires us to have your consent, and that's a good thing. So if you haven't filled that out, please make sure that you do that so that we can get it. I think those forms are on the back table, as well as that little blurb I gave you about Proposition 1. There's some of those in the back as well. God bless you. Have a good week. If you need prayer, someone will be here. We want to believe God to do a miracle in your life if you need it. Thank you, Lord.